All right. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back aboard our local hour here on my favorite two AM radio stations in the entire nation, of course, 1450 AM KBFI in beautiful Bonners Ferry, 1400 AM KSPT in sometimes sunny, sometimes soggy Sandpoint. But we're in North Idaho, and it's Thursday, so we call this show North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Witte, and we've got a good show for you today. First up, we'll be having our monthly Bonner General Health segment, which is sometimes more than monthly, but I think we have two of them this month. Anyway, Kristen Carlson and Molly Behrens are with us today. And then in our second segment, we'll welcome back in Mel Dick and David Keyes from the Sandpoint Rotary Club. And of course, they're putting on the Chafe 150 bike ride. This annual event is back to its usual June date after two very unusual years. And we'll be talking about that and tell you what's coming up next month. And in our final segment, we'll have our monthly visit with Sherry Coldwell and the Sandpoint Senior Center. We'll also check in with Bill Muck from the Daybreak Center, talk about some changes going on there. So that's our show for today. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, it's our BGH segment for this week anyway. We'll be right back. All right, we are back, and sitting with me here in the studios, Kristen Carlson and Molly Behrens from Bonner General Health. And ladies, how's it going?
Good.
Hi, Bob.
How are things over at the BGH?
I would say cautiously, optimistically, good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, better than it's been in a long, long time.
Yes, exactly.
That is for sure. I think everybody's excited about getting back together again and safely going out and all of that stuff. So, and it's great to see you two here with your huge smiles on your faces. And
you too. Thanks for having us.
So it is, what do we call it? Hospital week this week?
It is hospital week.
And what is that?
It is a nationally recognized week in May, usually the second week of May. And it's just an opportunity to celebrate hospitals and healthcare workers and all the ways they give to their communities. So we obviously have been on hiatus from that the last couple of years. So this week we are actually getting to have some celebrations and honoring employees, and the vibe is really fun and light. So it's great.
Yeah, it hasn't really been all that much in the last couple of years. We've had some very intense shows right here in the last 2 years. So it's great to be talking about more pleasant things. And Molly, what are some of the things that happen around Hospital Week?
Yeah, so every day kind of has a theme and a little event.
So do you dress up?
Well, I wish.
Maybe next year.
We'll work on that. But yeah, so Monday, I believe, was...
We did employee gifts on Monday. So the administration team gives a gift to every single employee, which is, I think, 482 now employees. We're doing an ice cream social later today. There's a free lunch on Friday. And a big one is employee awards. So they recognize anyone that has any kind of milestone year. So they've been there 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So big shout out to Sharon Beeman, who works in administration, and Judy Swintek, who's the switchboard operator. Okay. They both got their 45-year pins today.
No way.
Yes.
Awesome.
45 years.
45 years. And they obviously have been here together. I think they even went through orientation together. So it's pretty cool to see them. Yeah, 45 years.
Wow. Well, congratulations to them. What are some of the other milestones? Do you know?
I don't know any of the other ones off the top of my head. There's usually, you know, 20, 25 people that are having some sort of landmark.
Gotcha.
And I think our CEO, Cheryl, I think she's at 35 years. I could be off a year, but I'm pretty sure it's 35 years this year.
Probably close enough to call it 35.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so. Pretty amazing. And then we have an employee of the year, which congratulations, Jamie Martinez is our employee of the year. Jamie is the cardiopulmonary manager. So
gotcha.
you can imagine the last couple of years, that whole team in general has been literally keeping people breathing through a pandemic. So congratulations to her. We also had two DAISY recipients, which the DAISY Award is exclusively for nurses for providing exceptional care. And they usually are nominated by a patient or a patient's family. So Doug Lambrick in the emergency department and Kiana Fosnes are two of our nurses that were honored this week.
So for any of these honors or the ice cream social or things like that, can the public join in? Or is this just strictly in-house?
Strictly in-house.
Okay.
Yes.
I was just curious.
Maybe someday, but right now it's just an internal event. With some of these awards, they invite the families.
I was going to say, 45 years is pretty monumental.
It's pretty amazing. Yes. So family, even some of these awards, the person who nominated the nurse or employee will show up and read their nomination. So that's pretty special too.
Very good. Molly, then, you've got some notes in front of you.
What do those notes say? That's okay. Well, I was just going to talk about the foundation's involvement in Hospital Week. We had a foundation meet and greet on Tuesday, and it was really awesome just to have foundation members there to get to, shake hands and thank the employees. We gave away cookies and iced tea and had a little social thing, but we also got to give away $700 worth of gift certificates.
Wow.
We had a couple anonymous donors that bought some gift certificates to give away as employee appreciation awards. So we had random drawings for those. Those were two $100 gift certificates to McDuff's, two $100 gift certificates to Chevron for gas, and $300 gift card for Super One for groceries.
Well, so. McDuff's is always great. Super One's a wonderful grocery store, and $100 worth of gas right now
really
comes in handy.
Yeah, so we're really thankful to have donors that, care for and appreciate our staff. So that was really awesome. We also partnered with Northern Grind over in the food court, the coffee stand, and they we were able to offer a free coffee drink to every employee. So we handed those out, and that was really fun. And then the last kind of thing that we did, we had some of the local downtown businesses offer special discounts either during Hospital Week or for the entire month of May. So thank you to Eve's Leaves, Azalea, Finn and McDonald, Sugar Tooth, Sand Creek Quilting, I Saw Something Shiny, and Sharon's Hallmark, who all extended a discount code for BGH employees.
Yeah, above and beyond, as so many community businesses are around here.
Absolutely.
So that is great. Kristen, you have the second Healing Garden cleanup this weekend?
That's right. There's still lots of work to do. The first one was a few weeks ago, and we had about 35 volunteers show up, community members, to help kind of do the winter cleanup for the garden. But it's run by a very small group of volunteers, so they need some extra help. So Saturday from 10 to noon is our second garden cleanup. You don't have to bring anything, or you can bring some gloves and a rake if you would like, but you can just show up and we will put you to work. So, we're getting ready for our
Spring in the Garden
fundraiser, which is on May 28th. So we really want it to look, as beautiful as possible.
So what kind of work can you expect to be doing when you go to help with the cleanup?
Probably some more leaf cleanup, spreading mulch. I know there's some mulch out there, maybe even some planting. The last one, we moved quite a few rocks around, so there might be some more of that. But there's everything from maybe some extra muscle type of work to help these ladies who work in there every day to some very light duties. So, you don't have to worry about your ability. We'll find something for you to do. And it goes by really quick when you have a lot of people. So maybe it'll only be an hour. We'll just see.
And of course, the Healing Garden is just north of the main hospital.
Correct.
Yeah. If you've never been there.
Yes. And if you haven't, you should come, because it's pretty.
Things are starting to fill in and bloom, and it's getting very pretty. So.
And then coming up on May 21st is Sandpoint Safety Day. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So that's with, Bonner General Health is partnering with Safe Start Northwest, who are advocates for car seat safety, safe sleep. They kind of help spearhead that in the community. So there'll be lots of, the foundation's going to be there. Selkirk Fire is going to be there doing a lesson on choking hazards, I believe, and they'll have a big fire truck there. So it's really just an opportunity for the community to come and get some education. And also you can sign up to get a car seat safety check. So if you want to have someone who is certified to make sure that your seat is safe and it's installed correctly, you can make an appointment. And if you need a car seat or they deem your car seat is not safe, they will give you one.
Yeah, it's understandable, but it's sad that so many young moms buy their car seat at a garage sale or at a thrift store, and it's probably not up to snuff. So this is a day you can bring that. I mean, we all know how important that is, says a guy who was raised without car seats at all. but yeah, it's really important in this day and age to have something that's up to the safety standards. So they will check it out for you for free and help you out the best they can.
That's, exactly.
That is a great service.
So if you want to make an appointment, that is by appointment just because of they want to make sure they have time for everyone.
Gotcha.
You can text the Safe Start hotline at 844-619-2048 and make your appointment. They'll be there from 10 to 1. But everything else is just a walk up and meet and greet. And
we'll have some face painting, a few kids' activities, little goodie bags. And it is also takes place during Lost in the 50s. So we're hoping to get some foot traffic.
Yeah, so there'll be a lot of people just walking by there because having parked their car. And
exactly.
So great to have the 50s back too.
Yes, we're excited.
I'm very excited.
Yeah, a lot of people, a lot of Canadians are very excited. They've been working on their cars for 2 years and nowhere to show them. So that's all good stuff. Molly, you had mentioned the foundation doing all these gift certificates. For anybody who doesn't know, what is the Bonner General Foundation?
Yeah, so the foundation is kind of the charitable wing of the hospital. We identify needs of the hospital that don't, you know, fit in the budget, and we try and fundraise for those needs. So we often work with senior leadership and the managers to kind of fill the holes. And, you know, also a big part of it is just raising awareness, you know, letting people know about all of the different services that we provide at the hospital. So we have 10 foundation board members right now, and they're hard at work just trying to, you know, get the hospital all the funds we possibly can and, you know, share what's going on and kind of be ambassadors of the hospital for us.
And, of course, you guys put on the Heart Ball every year.
Yes, we do in February.
And this year you raised an incredible amount of money.
Yes, we raised $235,000 for...
$235,000.
Yes, virtually, which was amazing. And that money went to radiology for time-sensitive emergency imaging. So very necessary. And,
absolutely.
You know, we're in May and it's time to think about next year. So we'll be starting that process very soon.
That's great. So for this and any of these events we mentioned, you can always go to bonnergeneral.org.
Correct.
bonnergeneral.org and sign up for the Sandpoint Safety Day and find out anything else that's going on at BGH.
Yes.
Molly Behrens, Kristen Carson, thanks for joining us again this week.
And thank you, Bob.
We'll do it again sometime.
Thank you. Sounds good.
All right. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we'll switch gears literally a little bit, talk about the Chafe 150 with David Keyes and Mel Dick from the Sandpoint Rotary, and Sherry Coldwell coming up from the Sandpoint Senior Center after that, so stick around. All right, we are back here in North Idaho Thursday, and no stranger to the radio, so certainly this show. We have with us from the Sandpoint Rotary and the Chafe 150 Grand Fondo, Mel Dick, and Rotary President David Keyes. Guys, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
It's great. Well, it's wonderful to have the Chafe not only back, but back to its original weekend that it started years ago. Of course, with COVID, had to put it off till September
of last year.
Last year, and now you are back to June, traditionally the third Saturday in June. It's the 14th annual Chafe 150. And Mel, if there's anybody listening today who just doesn't even know what the Chafe Grand Fondo is? Just give us a quick overview.
Well, the Chafe Grand Fondo is a one-day bike ride. And it has a number of different routes. So there's a route for everyone. It has 150 miles, 100, 80, 40, 25. And back this year is the four-mile family fun ride. So for those of you who want to ride 150 miles a day, that's a pretty challenge, pretty big challenge.
And a lot of hills.
And some hills, about 6,500 or 7,000 cumulative feet of climbing. But it starts in Sandpoint. All the rides start in Sandpoint with the exception of the 80 and the 100. And they start in Troy, Montana, after you've been bused there. It's a beautiful ride. It's been named one of the top scenic rides in the country. It's been named one of the top supported rides in the country. It was the number three charity ride in 2018 by Bicycle Magazine, which is quite an accomplishment, and nothing's really changed since then. It's just a wonderful community-wide event, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
It starts early in the morning for the big rides. It finishes in the afternoon down at City Beach Park. You're right there by the lake. A wonderful lunch or dinner type thing served along with a beer and wine garden. And everybody in the community, whether you ride or not, is invited to come down.
Yeah, and it's a fun party. I go to it every year, and just to see everybody just relieved that they've finished the 150 or the 100. But it's also, like you said, there is a 40 and a 25, which really just about anybody can do if you ride a bike. So you see a lot of families out there and stuff, but then you're bringing back the family ride this year, so that's pretty exciting. And David Keyes, why do you guys do this?
Well, we do it for a couple of reasons. The main reason is we actually raise money for a charity or an event or a cause anyway. And this year it goes to the Book Trust. And the Book Trust is near and dear to all of our hearts in Rotary. We've partnered probably, I don't know, 10 plus years with the Book Trust. And it's just a great cause in our community and for our children. Basically what happens is, and Mel, correct me if I'm wrong on this, is that kids get a chance to buy books with not their money, but money from the Book Trust. And they can take those books home, and sometimes those homes don't have books. And so it kind of has mom and dad read it to them a little bit, and also just one of those we want to have lifelong learners and readers, and that's been the partnership that we've had with the Book Trust. And Mel, it's again 10 years. Do you think we've been helping?
We've been helping the Book Trust for at least 10 years. I think the club has. Typically, it's been contributions, donations from our individual club members. It costs about $85 a year for each kid in kindergarten through third grade to select a book on their own on a monthly basis that they get to read and they get to keep. This is the first year that the Chafe actually is going to be supporting the Book Trust.
Gotcha.
Prior years, the last 3 years, we supported the after school reading program. And I think what's neat about this year, and that program was very successful and it continues on, is kids from kindergarten to grade three are learning how to read. And once you go into grade four, you read to learn. Mm-hmm. And about 40 to 50% nationwide, kids are not ready to read when they go into the fourth grade.
Hmm.
So this program, which is wonderful, allows those kids, I think, to get that heads up and maybe not necessarily have to be in the after school reading program, which is a very beneficial program as well.
Yeah, that sounds great.
And one thing we do too, Bob, is we make sure it's a three-year commitment. So we give them a real boost. It's not just a one-year shot in the arm. It's 3 years of constant support from our organization. But also we ask them to help us out too, and they're already signing up to help us out this coming ride. So it's going to be a win-win for all of us that way.
I might just add one thing, Bob. If you get a chance, go to the elementary schools in the district and watch the kids. They all get their books, and they all open them up at the same time, and then they buddy them up, and they read to each other. And if you want to be inspired by the future, go watch a couple of first graders do that.
Very, very cute.
It's not only, it's just amazing to see the thirst for knowledge and how these kids can learn if they have something in their hands to learn from.
And you can see how their brains work too. They get X amount of dollars in value. So they can have one big bound book or three little books or five little pamphlets or whatever else they want to buy. So the kids who want the vast knowledge all around the board will go for the five little books. Mm. And then, of course, the one who wants the keepsake, they're going to hold on to it. You know, one thing we were talking about before we went on the air, though, was we really couldn't do this without our supporters. I mean, we have the whole Rotary Club comes together. 90% of our members, we have over 100 members, do something on this ride. So we're volunteering either at rest stations or at the finish line, registration, all the way through the process. But, again, we wouldn't make enough money just doing it ourselves. We have, like, Lighthouse this year has stepped up.
Yeah, Lighthouse is our presenting sponsor. Mm-hmm. We've also got some great gold-level sponsors, and those include your very own KPND.
There we go.
Ting, Like Media, Remax in Action, Kachava, Timberline Helicopters, and then Gary and Julie French. And then a host of other sponsors, too many to, quite frankly, talk about.
Can people still, if they aren't interested in writing, can they still contribute to the program?
Absolutely.
They can still sponsor, and they can sponsor by contacting me if they just send me an email, melvindick@gmail.com, and we'll get them on the sponsorship. We'll get you on the website. There's a lot of benefits that go along depending on the level of sponsorship, but you can be $250 up to $10,000.
So you get more information at that at chafe150.org?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay, so, and that's how you can register as well. You guys had mentioned that you're bringing back the family ride, and I know a few years ago it went out to Dover, so kids and families were crossing a few streets, but this year you've changed the route. Why don't you explain to us where the family ride is going to take
place? Yeah, the family ride is going to start down at City Beach Park. It's going to start with registration at 11:30 if you haven't already registered online. There'll be a great safety presentation for the kids to learn about bike riding. There's helmets if they're going to need helmets, and the ride starts at 1 o'clock. This year, we're going to take them up Sand Creek Bike Path, not quite 2 miles, and they'll turn around. There's a little bench area up there, and there'll be a little rest stop for them, and then they'll come back, and they're going to finish at City Beach Park about the time the other riders come in. So they're going to, last time we did this, they had their own separate party out at Dover in the Dovey City Park, but this time they're going to be there with everybody, and I think we're excited because again, the first year we did this was back in 2019. We had roughly 80 to 100 participants. Because we're partnering with the city's Parks and Rec department, and it's going to get into their summer programs, we're thinking that we may have up to 200 participants in the family fun ride this year.
I think it's a great idea. And you mentioned the city Parks and Rec, the YMCA and Lake Pendere School District helping to organize the family thing. Yep. And what is the charge for that?
The family fun ride is 12 and under is free.
Oh.
You have to be accompanied by a chaperone, an adult, and they have to pay $10 to register.
Gotcha.
And 13 and above is $10. And you can buy, that doesn't cover the cost of the after ride party, but you can buy a meal ticket if you want to have the meal.
Yeah, and it goes to a great cause, and plus you'll end up, you know, at the big party, and so you could walk around with the 150 riders going, yeah.
I made it.
Oh, it was tough, boy. I was had to do the turnaround there and come all the way back, but I got it.
Sounds like you're going to ride the family fun ride, Bob.
I think he's taking the 150. I think he's going to go the full Monty.
Hey, Mel, you know that I drive the Parker Subaru lead car, so I'm a little busy. So, and it's much easier to drive that route than to ride a bike for me. Anyway, anything else we haven't touched on, Dave?
Oh, I think maybe one cool thing for the Chamber of Commerce angle, which I know you appreciate, is I think we've studied it before, and about 60% of the riders come from outside of Sandpoint, Bonner County, and that's huge. So you think about the multiplying effect there of eating, staying, and all that kind of good stuff, too. So it really
is. They generally eat and stay for several days before and after.
Last time we looked at this, we thought we were generating at least a couple $100,000. Coming into the local economy by the time you consider the multiplier effect, which is, that's a big deal.
Oh, absolutely. And I would be willing to bet it's more than that.
Probably.
Yeah, probably is. With inflation. Yeah. That was in 2019.
Yeah. Right, don't get started there. Don't go there, Mel. We're talking to Mel Dick and David Keyes from the Sandpoint Rotary and the two main organizers for the 14th annual Chafe 150 Grand Fondo, which is not a bike race. I've been corrected in the past. It's a bike ride. So there will be very serious riders who come from all over. And, you know, they're into it. And then there's people just want to see if they can challenge themselves and get it done. And some that just want to contribute to a great cause. And historically, we've had pretty doggone good weather for most of those 14 years. A little wet from time to time. June can be that way.
Says the guy in the Subaru. You know what?
Yeah. Funny, his windshield wipers are great.
I might add, on June 2nd, we are going to have a Chafe 150 happy hour at Matchwood Brewing from 5 to 7 o'clock. There's going to be food by Matchwood, great beer from Matchwood, and we're going to have a number of raffles, some of which are going to be worth probably at least $2,000. So please come, register, have some great food and beer, win some great prizes. We'd love to see you on June 2nd, 5 to 7 p.m.
5 to 7 at Matchwood Brewing, right in the heart of downtown. And are there going to be information there to learn how to, maybe you can become a sponsor in the future, or just
Absolutely.
About Rotary in general?
And you'll be able to register on site if you want to. We'll have a computer there and let you register right there.
Which leads me to my next question, was when is the registration cutoff?
You can register right up until the morning of the ride.
Wow.
Okay. So many of we cut off the online registration like a day or two before, but you can register at the ride, and frankly, many people do sometimes come and register the morning of the ride. I think historically we've had anywhere from 25 to 50 riders.
Sure. Some of the family members will kind of watch the weather that morning, say, hey, guess what we should do? Let's do the 40 together, or one of the smaller, easier rides.
Yeah, so, that makes sense.
And I think the family fun ride will be a part of that too. I think they'll get up in the morning and say, hey, it's sunny, let's go do the family fun ride.
Yeah. So. And again, if you want to get in touch with Mel and just talk about this, melvindick@gmail.com, or to find out more about just the Chafe specifically, chafe150.org or chafe150.org. And David Keyes, president of the Rotary, how do people find out more about Rotary here in Sandpoint and how they can get involved with that?
We have an open door policy. If somebody wants to show up at noon at Tango,
Wednesdays,
we'll buy lunch for them. We'll bring them on in. We'll show them around a little bit.
And you usually have a guest speaker. Lunch is at Tango Cafe.
Yeah, we're spoiled that way. In fact, we have guests who come from Coeur d'Alene this week and other places just for the lunch. And so we've been pretty lucky that way. We have just inducted a bunch of new members. We have our newest, oldest members. We have a couple that's 85 and 86 years old that just joined. And we have a young man, Paul Meyer, who just joined as well. He's on the 24, 25 age group, I think, somewhere in there. So we kind of span the whole gamut that way. It's fun to watch all the energy that we bring into the club, with every new member bringing something with them.
Very good. Mel Dick, David Keyes, thanks for joining me once again. Thanks for all you two do for the Rotary, for the community, for especially the Chafe 150, and for coming on this show. So always a pleasure, and we'll do it again.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Bob.
All right. We are going to take our final break. When we come back, we have Sherry Coldwell with us. Give us an update on what's happening at the Sandpoint Senior Center for the rest of this month. So stick around. All right, we are back. Our final segment here on North Idaho Thursday. I'm your host, Bob Witte, and we are joined, as we are once a month, here on North Idaho Thursday with Sherry Coldwell from the Sandpoint Senior Center. And Sherry, how are you?
I'm well, thanks. How are you?
It's always great to see you.
You as well.
I know I see you a lot during football season because we're both 49er fans. And
go Niners.
But the Senior Center, so it's May, sun's coming out, it's springtime. What's happening at the Senior Center this month?
Well, we have our usual programs that you are probably familiar with. Bunko on Mondays, Bridge on Tuesdays, Pinochle on Wednesdays, as well as Bingo. And tonight, I think our jackpot is up to $80, and they'll have Polish dogs available for purchase for your dinner. The doors open at 5 and Play begins at 6. We've also got our Fit and Fall Proof classes going on. That's the exercise class designed for seniors to help with your core strength and your balance so that falling won't be as much of an issue for you, hopefully. We have that twice a week on Mondays and Thursdays at 3 o'clock. We have our last night for the Ladies Homestead Gathering for the season. They're going to be finishing up for the summer and then returning to us in October. So if you're interested in that, that's available for any woman age 16 and older. It's completely free, and they're going to be studying sage that night if you'd like to join us. And then, of course, we have our dances twice a month on the second and fourth Saturdays. That's from 1 to 4, and they take a break around 2:30 to have a potluck lunch. So even if you don't dance, just come out for the socialization, the meals, and to listen to live music. The band is called Country Plus, and they're seniors, and they play old school country music, so it's all music you would be familiar with.
That's great. Last month you were here, you were talking about you needed to hire a new cook. Your last cook retired. Do you have good news?
Well, our last cook passed away. He didn't retire.
Away.
Yeah,
well,
yeah. And we do have good news. Brenda Curtis has started working with us. She started last week, and she's wonderful. She's originally from Dallas-Fort Worth, so if you're from Texas, come in and meet Brenda and say, hey, y'all. But she's been fitting right in. She's got a great attitude and is really easy to work with. And today, several people told me they had the best lunch they've ever had. So she's killing it in the kitchen for us.
I know that really is going to help you and the rest of the staff out, because you guys were all pitching in, especially you, and cooking all those lunches, which is what, like 60 or so?
It depends on the day of the week. Today, I think we had like close to 80 servings.
Wow.
Yeah. So
is
it just depends.
In-house and the deliveries?
That does include both. And then we like to make a few extras for the freezers. That way we have, because even though we're open 5 days a week, we have folks that we serve 7 days a week. And so they have to have freezer meals for the weekends. Yeah. So we keep our freezers stocked. We have two, one for red meat and one for white meat.
So if you're homebound, or you know, you need your food, your meals on wheels delivered to you, is there any requirement for that, or do you just sign up, or what? How does that work?
There are some requirements. Obviously, it's for folks who are homebound and cannot leave the house without a lot of assistance, usually from another person, in addition to using like a walker or a wheelchair. And it's mainly for folks who can't stand long enough to shop for their food, let alone prepare for it. So the first question I always ask is, does the person have Medicare? And if they do, then they need to go through their Medicare case representative or their case manager to get onto the program, to get registered for the program. But otherwise, you could just contact the Senior Center and speak with Mary McGinnis, who runs the program, and she'll be able to tell you what you need to do to get registered.
Very good. And you still have breakfast on Fridays?
We do.
And what does the breakfast entail? When's it start?
Well, we serve lunch Monday through Thursdays at 11:30. Fridays is breakfast, and that is served at 8:30. And it changes from day to day. The only steady item we have on our entire menu is the last Friday of the month is biscuits and gravy day. So if you're a biscuits and gravy fan, that's the day to come out and have breakfast with us.
That sounds good. Anything special coming up in the future with the seniors? Are you guys making any casino runs?
Well, we just had one, so our next one isn't going to be, I think, until August. They don't have enough buses, I guess, to do them more often. If we had at least 20 folks signing up every time, then they would probably figure out a way to get us a bus every month. But for now, it's kind of, you know, I think they're doing it quarterly for now.
Okay.
So we just had the casino trip. And the only other thing that we have coming up is June. We have our annual Father's Day barbecue fundraiser. And that's the Saturday before Father's Day. So I think it's June 18th this year, Saturday, June 18th. But it's hosted by the Injectors Auto Club. So they always have their classic cars out there. Mm-hmm. We're going to have live music with Brian Jacobs once again, who played for us last year and did a wonderful job.
Great.
Yeah, and then this year we also have the 7B Baggers. They're going to have a cornhole tournament out there to help us raise money as well.
Wow.
Yeah, so keep that in your calendars. It's going to be, I think it starts around 10 or 11. We'll have posters made up, but usually it's from 10 to 2 in that time frame.
And what's the date?
Saturday, June 18th is, I believe, the day
before
before Father's Day.
The day before Father's Day, and it's hot dogs and hamburgers, and there's usually more sides and desserts than you've ever seen.
And the auto the Injectors Auto Club provides all of that for us. It's it's a wonderful fundraiser that they do for us, and they absorb a lot of the cost. So we really appreciate their support and their help with putting it together for us every year.
And I want to throw a plug out for the Van Horn brothers. They always help out so much with the Injectors and with this particular barbecue. And Dale Van Horn, in case you didn't know this, his son Ben, who was my neighbor growing up. I mean, the Van Horns lived right down the street from us. Ben was on Wheel of Fortune. No, what was it called? The one where you... he was on a game show just the other Tuesday night, and he won $9,000.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
So good for Ben.
a kid from Kootenai right here in the Sandpoint area. So, and I know Gary and Dale and everybody from the Injectors are really happy to always donate this day to the Sandpoint Senior Center. Let's talk about the Daybreak Center for a moment. It's 3 days a week right now?
Right. Right now, they're still open Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. I think they're hoping to expand, but obviously staffing is an issue. There is a fee. I believe it's $11 an hour. However, your first visit is free. So if you wanted to bring your loved one in just to check it out and see if it would work out for you, you can do that completely free of charge for the first visit. In addition to that, I know that there are reimbursements that you can get if you're a veteran or if you have Medicare. I think there's a couple others, but I'm not sure precisely. I'd have to check with their director. And finally, we also have a small scholarship fund that we utilize for folks who can't quite afford the $11 an hour just to help pay for their loved one to get some care while the caretaker, the caregiver, usually a family member, goes out and does their errands or, you know, doctor's appointments or just takes some time for, you know, themselves, a little TLC time.
Absolutely. That's great. Real quick, I failed in the beginning of the show to bring you up to date on things to do this weekend. So let me tell you that tomorrow night at Matchwood Brewing, Brendan McCoy is playing from 6 to 8:30. Maya and Joe, it's Maya Goldblum and Joe Duchette, playing at the Ponderay Winery Friday night from 5 until 8. The Sandpoint Women's March is this Saturday, starting at Sandpoint City Beach at 1. Of course, Farmers Market is back, and hopefully start getting some good weather, because I know their first couple of markets have been wet and cold.
Very.
So, we get more and more of those booths back there, and of course, it's every Saturday from 9 to 1, and every Wednesday evening as well. Sandemonium Light, after a two-year break due to COVID, is back to the Sandpoint Library this Saturday from noon until 4, and you can go to sandemonium7b.com to find out more about it. I know it brings together fans of science fiction, fantasy, esports, and stuff like that, so it sounds pretty interesting. Live music at the winery on Saturday with Ben Vogel from 5 until 8. And if you heard the show a week or so ago, we had Chris from the Sandpoint Sailing Association, Chris Chambers, with us here. And their movie, The Weekend Sailor, is Saturday night at the Panada Theater, 7 o'clock. Doors open at 6. It's free, but they're asking for donations for $10. And even more important is to show up early for the social hour and learn more about Sandpoint Sailing and how you can get involved. And you can join this nonprofit and use the sailboat for free all summer long. So it's really a cool program. Sherry, always great to have you on this program once a month. We'll do it again next month.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
And thanks for all your great work at the Sandpoint Area Seniors.
Thank you.
All right. Well, that's going to be our show for today. In fact, that's it for me this week. Until next week, I'm Bob Witte, and we'll see you later.